first topic of business that I wanted to discuss was the alternate chair. I think there was, there's been enough sort of discussion on the list, but how do those members on the call feel about going through a slightly more robust process than we've been through to appoint an alternate chair?
Did anyone volunteer?
Well, we haven't actually asked yet.
Oh, in the email, Keith asked.
Yeah, no, no one's volunteered.
I know.
This is Becky.
I would. You know, if there are no other volunteers, I would be willing to do it.
Hear, hear.
Well, I think we also have a nomination of Bill that probably is a legitimate nomination. I'm not sure about the rest of the process.
Well, I would be happy to decline my nomination and nominate Becky.
And I'll withdraw my second of Bill. Not that I think one's needed.
Okay. Okay, well, okay, so we have a nomination then of Becky. Shall I, since there's few of us on the call, shall I post that to the list as being a received nomination,
yes,
commenting that Bill has withdrawn, and seek any further nomination over the next kind of 48 hours, and if there's none, we'll tag Becky as it.
Good.
Sounds
okay.
Good to me.
Agreed.
Okay, Chris, well, it's not on the agenda, but since we have Bernie on the call, do you want to discuss Bernie?
Bart, you can do that. It's better.
Sorry, what was the question?
Why is Bernie with us?
It's very simple. I don't have the time to do both of these processes, both the delegation and the IDN CCPDP being say the main staff support. We've requested Bernie to do the staff support for this working group, and he kindly accepted.
So Bernie's actually working as a contractor to ICANN, effectively, isn't he? Well, Bernie, you can answer that yourself, Bernie, can't you?
You are doing a fine job. Yes, I'm just a contractor for ICANN, and yes, you get stuck with me. Some of them seem to feel that I knew a little bit about this stuff and that I might be useful.
Welcome aboard, Bernie.
So can I ask you, is it only related to this subject, or will we have the pleasure of more of you?
There's more of it?
No, it's only related to this subject.
Only related to the subject for now.
Okay.
For now.
So you watch those damned ICANN contractors and the way they seep into the place.
That's right, exactly.
Excellent.
All right.
Bernie, really pleased to have you on board, and I think your history will aid this process quite considerably.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I think in the notes from the meeting too, then I'll comment that Bernie has been contracted and should provide us with excellent support.
Good.
Okay. Now I've submitted, firstly, I guess what I'd call at this stage a non-document, since it has no status other than having been tinkered with by Bart, Chris and myself. I just wonder what the general feeling was in regard to that paper, whether it is providing any useful sort of basis on which we can place our discussions, or whether we should just start with a blank sheet of paper and try and work forward.
Well, I've got something to say, as you might expect.
Sorry, who's that?
Nigel, I've got something to say, as you might expect. Despite having spent about an hour and a half at 6 o'clock this morning writing my non-document, which I hope has also been read with equal interest, if not sending you to sleep this time of night, I'm quite strongly believing we should start with blank pieces of paper.
Well, the only problem with a blank piece of paper is it cannot be edited.
Now, the point I'm getting at, Doc, is that we sit in conference and we establish really from very, very strong first principles, because as soon as you start throwing in ICP-1 this and RFC-1591 that, you get entrenched positions about RFC-1591, don't you, Bill? And ICP-1, which would be me, and so on. And you go around in circles on the tactical detail, and you don't look at the strategic overview. That's my feeling.
I'm sorry, I'm a bit... Nigel, it's Chris. I'm a little confused. I'll say three things, I think. First is that this working group is going to be... I mean, this is a fairly large working group. We're already facing facing difficulties of trying to get calls at a time to allow enough of us to be on the line when it's not desperately inconvenient and so on.
Mm.
That's the first thing. The second thing I wanted to say is that, and I know I'm a bit out of touch with my emails, but I know that you raised the point about staff writing documents and so on, and I just want to make the point that really that is a very no offence is intended by this, but a very out of touch view about the way that these things operate now. We're not, Bart effectively, and in the future Bernie, are effectively operating under our instructions. And character, the term staff has a sort of characterization to it from the past, which could be seen to be pejorative. But much more importantly, and thirdly, I don't see how you can possibly expect a group of, I don't know how many people it is, 20, 25 people, who can't all necessarily be on a call at the same time, to start with a blank sheet of paper. You surely need to have something around which you can build the discussion. Otherwise, I mean, how do you start? Are you suggesting that someone should simply open their mouth and say, right, the first thing I want to talk about is RFC 1591?
If I can come in at this point,
yeah,
that's exactly what I don't want to see.
Right.
Because what I'm trying to recommend something of a kind of a Zen approach here. Empty your mind of all that has gone before, and start with what I've called in my document the qualified question. What is the question that this group has to answer? Not let's look at whether we agree with RFC 1591 being relevant in the modern day or not, nor whether we, and I'm glad we've got Bernie and his historical knowledge on things like ICP-1 and so on with us now. Let us say, what is the question we've got to answer, and what are the steps we have to take in order to answer that question and no other question? Because it's just going to be so tempting to go round in circles about various real or imagined...
But the question we have to answer is in the Charter.
And that's what we start with.
But the question we have to answer is, are there any holes, and I'm paraphrasing here, are there any holes in the or mismatches between the way these things are currently done and what's written down? I mean, I'm happy to discuss that till the cows come home, but that seems to me to have been done already. Unless I misunderstood you. I thought what you were saying was we need to get clear what the question is we need to ask.
A clarifying question, I hope?
Of course. Go ahead, Becky.
Nigel, when you're talking about starting with a blank piece of paper, is that because something about... I mean, there's a description of the current process for delegation of CCs, and then there's a description of, sort of a bunch of questions. Which part of it is troubling?
It's the methodology. We need to... this is my opinion, okay. We know what the question is. What we need to discuss is how we're going to approach the question in order to get the answer.
Well, can I suggest something?
Sure.
I think when you have like large legislatures and many people who are going to be voting and putting their 2 cents worth, then they start with a smaller committee to make the skeletal outline, and maybe that would be useful in this case. And in this case, I think it should be broader than ICANN staff and Chris and, you know, the people who are already ensconced.
No, I agree with that, Dottie. I'm not suggesting it shouldn't be. I think I now understand, Nigel, which I don't think I did before.
I'm pleased at that.
I think. We'll see. what you want to have, Nigel, a discussion about not about delegation, not about retirement, not about redelegation, but a discussion about how we're actually going to end up producing something at the end of the day.
I think that's right, but I think the point is that if we start discussing redelegation, retirement, and so on, we're going to get bogged down in, shall we say, tactical sniping or and tactical positioning and so on, and I really don't want to see that. I want to see this process done properly and judicially from the top down. I don't mean top down in terms of the bottom-up process. I mean top down in terms of you look at the question, you look at how you're going to answer the question, you look at the criteria on which you're going to judge the information, and hopefully we can produce an output saying, yes, we need to start a policy process. No, we shouldn't touch it with a barge pole. And as I think I've tried to highlight in what I wrote this morning, some of the arguments for saying yes to the question are the same arguments you might say no to the question, depending on your value judgments.
So how would you start us off then?
Well, I'd start you off with my document.
But why is your document any different to another document? I don't get the issue. Is the issue who holds the pen, or is the issue that there is a pen in the first place?
Point of view of producing documents. I would have had more time to produce where I thought we should be going if I'd realised
if we did that, then everybody would produice a document, and we'd be awash with documents.
I genuinely do not
understand why. Unless it is an issue about, you know, quote, staff, unquote, I genuinely do not understand why we cannot simply start our discussions with a baseline document that you can violently disagree with. If you'd expect...
That's exactly the point. It's that without any... And I'd have the same objection if Eberhardt had written this document. In fact, probably more so. So it's not about who's written the document.
Why I don't write documents 2 minutes before the phone call.
Ah, that will be Eberhardt.
So as I say, if Eberhardt had written this document 2 minutes before and sprung it on us, I would have equal objections. It's the non-transparent nature of the fact that the document drafting is going on in the background without any of us knowing that there's document drafting going on.
Okay, I guess maybe this is just a genuine disconnect here, and I'll shut up after I've said this. Maybe this is just a genuine disconnect. But with all due respect to those of you who have not previously been involved with CCNSO working groups, the way these working groups work and have successfully worked in the past has been that the chair of the working group, in this case Keith, and usually Bart, because he's been the person involved, hold the pen and start us off with start the ball rolling with some, you know, broad brush thoughts, etc. to kick off debate. And frankly, not once in the history of, and I've lost count of how many working groups we've dealt with in the last 4 years, not once have we ever had a discussion indicating a concern by a member of a working group that the process might be, and I know I'm using words that no one has used here, hijacked simply because a document is being drafted by a particular person. And I just don't see how we can possibly hope to proceed on any other basis.
I must say, to quote Eberhardt, on that you're out of order. I am not suggesting either that the process is being hijacked or that it is anything to do with who's written the document. The fact is that if document drafting was going on in the background, it should have been made very clear at the last meeting what the timescale was, who was doing what, and what the deliverables were going to be, and that it was going to be delivered in a certain timescale, etc., etc. Instead of which, there was deadly silence on the list.
I want to weigh in on this. It's Bill Semmick. I do realize that there was a long period of silence prior to this phone call, and I was getting worried as to where things were going. Not to say that I made an issue of it, but I realize we all have other things going on, and this could have taken a while. But probably if we discussed this in the email list a little more in advance, I can't speak for Nigel, but you might feel a little better about it.
Well, look, I'll take full responsibility. It's Keith here. I'll take full responsibility for not keeping the list informed. I had sort of assumed that people on this working group would have been moderately familiar with the CCNSO processes and would have been sort of awaiting a document. And I also have already apologised for the late nature of it. It was an intent to get it out some time ago, but I've been on the road for until the IGF from ICANN Seoul, so time has not been great and so on. But as I've said on the call, if the feeling of the group is that the paper is moderately acceptable, then we won't be making any decisions on it at this meeting, and we'll go through iterative processes on our calls and so that we can encourage everyone to have input before we decide anything. So that's why I'm suggesting at this stage it's a non-paper, and it's there if the content of the paper is perceived to be inappropriate or rubbish, we go back and start again.
Well,
and if
perhaps
it's considered,
Keith, perhaps I can, as I seem to have started this controversy,
yep,
draw it to a close. I'm not suggesting anything about the content. My comments were made before I'd even had the paper, as you remember from this morning.
Yep.
Secondly, as somebody who has been a member of a legislature, that was quoted earlier on, and the way civil servants produce documents and produce them to the legislators, you start out with a political will, say, these are the areas we want you to go away and draft and come back with a draft on. It doesn't work the other way around.
Well, I'd actually thought that we'd done that in terms of breaking our, through our charter, breaking our work into chunks and saying we're going to deal with these things individually. And then perhaps my lack of informing the group that there was a paper being worked on is where things went a little wrong. But, to me, it's always easier to have something upon which you can shoot things down rather than having no target whatsoever.
Okay, well, the final thing is that,
Keith,
as I say, you are now reactive
also
rather than active, if you do.
Can
that.
I come in as well? It's Eli here. I actually bet Nigel a can of cool drink that we would be sprung upon a document on the 2nd of December or later. Okay? Whether this is the way CCNSO working groups work or not, I don't care. I cannot be given at 11 o'clock local time when I'm in my consulting rooms, start with a 9-page document, and then at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm shaken out of bed, so, you know, as I have a night job, I'm used to this, and talk coherently about it. That's a serious concern of mine. I trust Bart, so I don't care whether we call him staff or not. If he does acts on instructions and produces a document on instructions, that's fine with me. But I don't have time to peruse a 9-page document in that short time frame. That's the one thing. I also would think that we do not, that our priority should not be discussing documents like this on the phone call. We should discuss them on the mailing list to enforce so that we can refer to what other people say about parts of the document easier, iterative process, and then we can go and have these phone calls where we then talk about these things. That's my feeling. Maybe we should leave bygones bygones and start from fresh. We have another telephone call. It gives us another 4 weeks to talk about it. But my point is, this way is not effective. It's 3 o'clock in the morning at my time. Yeah, I am self-employed, so I am not doing this as part of my job and say now it's out of order. I don't get overtime. But I don't really want to be sprung upon as a nine-page paper 2 minutes before I'm supposed to speak coherently about it.
Sure, I understand that, and that's why I've suggested several times that this is iterative, and if this document is acceptable to the group to start debate on the list, it certainly is. As far as I can see, the sole topic for the next teleconference on the 7th of January as well. So I don't think there's any need to feel hijacked. I've suggested that we are not making decisions on anything in the paper, but rather just using it as a starting point if you find that acceptable.
Keith, it's Bill Semek again. I have to say my first annotation on this document at the top is reflected in Nigel's document, and maybe it's your plan to resolve this when the three different phases are brought together, but there's no mention in here that the actual overriding assignment for the group is to decide whether there should be a PDP or not. Instead, the document says the purpose and scope of this work group is to consider this and consider that and so on and so forth. I do think that the decision on the PDP is prime.
Bill, it's Chris, I agree with that. And if I can just pick up on what you've just said and what Keith has said. I agree with that. It's an illustration of what the purpose of this document is, which is to put some stuff out there and actually get us to talk about things. You've raised a very good point. I actually want to take the particular point that you've raised, because actually it's not for us to decide whether there should be a PDP. It's for us to produce a report that advises the council. That briefs the council for them to decide if there should be a PDP. But I'm splitting hairs with you but I'm trying to illustrate the purpose of this document. Because no one is suggesting, as far as I'm aware, that this is either, complete. It covers every point or whatever. It's merely an attempt to put some stuff about delegation on the table for us to begin talking about. And to pick up on Eberhard's point, which I also agree with, I think that, again, I want to stress, no one is suggesting, at least as far as I'm aware, that the arrival of this document yesterday and this telephone call today, mean that you've got 12 hours to think about the document. Eberhard's quite right. This document will take shape and be developed and change, and possibly change radically on the list, and as well as having discussions on the phone.
Look, to add my own weight to that argument, I think if this was the document that we served the CCNSO with in Nairobi in March, I'd be desperately disappointed in this working group's inability to do anything. I think it's very much a start, and the end document should be substantially finer in all regards. So its purpose was to... or to me, the purpose came from the mandate that we have as our working group charter, which does describe that we are not about to try to instigate policy, but just merely to measure between the three documents that we know of and the processes that IANA uses that we're allowed to know of, to see if there are any gaps that the CCNSO may wish to embark on a policy development process for. So I thought that was already covered, and we were now into stage one, which was the delegation process. But I guess on reflection, it wouldn't hurt to preempt all our working documents with the statement that you know, this is to try and spot the gaps between policies, guidelines and processes, and see if there's a need for a policy development process as, as an end result.
Keith, can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Becky,
sure.
I don't know if Becky's... I've just had an email from Becky. I don't know if anybody else has had an email from Becky. Just saying
I think it just... I'm here. I'm on.
Oh, okay.
I think
cool.
It
sorry,
just took a long time to get through your firewall. Or
okay,
get out of mine.
Chris, we've sorted her out to 70 chairs when she's been on the call.
Sorry. I'll shut up. Sorry, Keith. I'm shutting up.
Keith, what do you mean by policies that we are allowed to, IANA policies that we are allowed to know about? Are there any that we are not allowed to know about?
I have no idea. I think that's a question that IANA could answer, but you know, IANA have been providing us with useful information to date, and you know, our job is to see whether we think their processes are aligned to the policies and guidelines that are in place. That's all. No sinister undertone behind that.
I'm just showing that I'm in spite of the time of the day, I'm fully awake and listening.
If there were policies you weren't allowed to know about, you wouldn't be allowed to know about the fact that you weren't allowed to know about them.
Thank you, Nigel, for that extraordinarily profound point.
But now to something completely different. What are we going to do about the co-chair?
Well, that happened while you were waiting to get on.
Oh, yes.
We decided to stitch it up while you weren't on the call.
Yes, to summarise...
That's the bad news.
Yeah, to summarise, Eberhard, we had a discussion and there was a suggestion that Becky Burr would like to do the role, and
I would second this immediately.
Sorry?
Yes, he said yes.
I would second it immediately.
Okay, and Bill graciously withdrew his nomination. So the output was that I would advise the working group list of those two facts and seek any other nominations over the next 48 hours. And if there are none, Becky be appointed. If there are any further nominations, we'll run some sort of election.
To the internet.
Great.
So, talking about the documents, since that's part of what we're doing here, I'm just wondering what you, Keith, or whoever else is, was involved in it. What its likely life is. In other words, is this merely just laying out some questions, and then there'll be another document in which we attempt to answer the questions, or what is your expectation here?
Well, my first expectation was that this meeting and the next meeting be confined to whether the document is reasonably factual and robust, and correcting or adding information where it's not, and seeking to raise further questions. Because I'm sure this is only a scratch of the surface in terms of the number of questions there are, and then try and prioritise them into what's more important. You know, like if someone has a suggestion that, you know, I don't know, ISO 3166 is not the appropriate source and we should use something else, then there's a whole lot of questions that arise out of that need to be answered. And I think... before we get into answering, we should try and get to an extensive list of what the questions are and what their priority is.
I think that's right, isn't it, guys? It's meant to be a topic paper, and all it's trying to do is to say, under the heading of delegation, these are the topics that we can think of that we need to discuss. There may well be others.
What is about the IDNs? I don't see any mentioning of this, and this is going to happen. We need to talk about them too, ne?
That's a very good point, and I don't know the answer to that. But
it's IDNs is building on top, say currently IDN CCTLDs are building on top of the delegation, redelegation retirement process defined for the CCTLDs. And secondly, in the IDN PDP, there is a question whether or not this process, the delegation, redelegation and retirement of CCTLDs should be followed or not. So it's more the other way around. The IDN CCTLDs will or will not follow the CCTLD delegation question.
Okay. It's nice, but the important thing I think is, in respect of IDNs, simply that it throws into question one of the questions that you would otherwise be able to say has been answered. That is, what is a CCTLD?
But
you wouldn't be able to say it's been answered because in the generic, in the GTLD context, we've got the same issue.
So what I mean is you have a rule of recognition at the moment which works. If it's on this, it's a CCTLD.
Sorry, Nigel. And again, that question sits right in the middle of the PDP currently.
Okay, so it's sounding to me like the IDN, at least the IDN fast track process, is proceeding on the current basis of policies and potentially a little out of scope for this working group, but it may come back to impact us later on.
Can I just make the point that, I mean, yes, Bart's right, and I think Eberhard's right to raise the question. It's clear that under the terms of the IDN policy development process, some work is likely to be done which may enhance or finesse the current understanding of what a CCTLD is. The real question for this working group is not what is a CCTLD. The real question for this working group is the current documentation and practical application of that documentation, does the current documentation and the practical application of that documentation require refining by a policy development process that decides what a CCTLD is? So it's perfectly open for this working group to recommend to the council that we should actually have a policy development process to figure out what is a CCTLD.
Can I just chime in quickly?
Yes, Kim.
So I mentioned this in Seoul, I believe, but one of the efforts we're going on right now in IAN is trying to accurately document all of our processes precisely so that you can work off a proper, complete description of what we do in terms, in order to make your assessment, as well as more generally to inform the community about how we do all the aspects of root zone management. The documentation from an internal perspective is complete. It's basically in the multi-layered sign-off process, and I don't have a good time estimate when some of it will become available. Our goal was to have good descriptions about how IDN CCTLDs impact our workflow prior to the launch of that process. Obviously, that's not happened. But I just wanted to flag that I'll definitely comment on the paper that has been provided yesterday, but hopefully, fingers crossed, in the short term we'll have improved documentation to work from as well. And I hope I'll share it with the group, of course, as soon as I have all the sign-offs to do so.
So that brings me to a question. It's Phil Samick again. None of this material was provided by Jana, this description of the process?
Not directly, although, you know, I haven't read it word for word, but I skimmed the document earlier today, and I noticed that some chunks of it have been cut and pasted from recent redelegation reports, which provide, you know, a relatively high-level description of the process, but it doesn't get into the step-by-step of it, which is the kind of level of detail of the documents I've been working on.
But perhaps...
Sorry,
Becky.
I mean, I know you have the sort of, there are a lot of FAQs and checklists and that kind of stuff that are pretty detailed. I mean, the one thing that I would say is, having looked at this, there has been some evolution over time about kind of the way the policies get applied in the when you're looking at redelegation decisions. And so I just want to make sure that we are cognizant of the sort of what the policy, that there can be a distinction between what the policies are and how they're applied, and not conflate those so completely that we can't get through that. And that was meant with all, that was not an aggressive comment in any way, or not intended to be.
I mean, I didn't take it as such, and you know, I completely agree. I mean, when I, you know, I've been doing the job of redelegations within ICANN now for over 4 years, but when I started, I had nothing to work from but just reading the previous reports, more or less. And, you know, I had the internal documentation from previous requests as well, but there wasn't anything in terms of policies or procedures and so forth to work from other than, you know, 1591 and so forth. And I think over the last 4 years we've incrementally improved the documentation, and in recognition that we're getting a substantial number of CCTLD applications all coming in relatively short time, a main effort in the last 6 months has been to really rigorize our internal processes. So, you know, it's very much checklist-based now. It's quite objective. And, you know, it's designed so that it can scale across multiple people, not just me. And I'm hoping to share that with you because, you know, I'm as keen as anyone to have this group analyze the way we do things, and not only from a procedural point of view but a policy point of view, to identify problems and remedy them where appropriate.
Tim, can I just...
It's Bill Samick again. The one significant piece that's missing from this document, from my point of view, and perhaps should appear in all three of the phases, delegation, deletion, and redelegation, would be some look at legal questions. I'm not sure, you know, I'm sort of dancing around this because I'm not a lawyer, but there has to be a lot of issues related to, rights that managers or proposed managers think they have or do have or whatever, and although it's not likely you've had a lot of those on the table at this point, it's still something we need to be cognizant of.
Yeah, Bill, just an answer to there. Well, trying to answer not for Kim, but from my own perspective, I think there are some legal issues that arise in an initial delegation, but very much more that arise in a redelegation, and I thought that would be a topic for much more conversation at the discussion point on redelegation.
Well, for example, on the delegation process, I make a note here. I have this paper's covered with notes, I'm sorry to say, but at least I gave it some thought. I have a note here to say, well, what about when the applicants, you know, there's contending applicants? We haven't really looked at that as a delegation question.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that has been looked at as far as Western Sahara is concerned.
But in the
document. In India, the Polisario has applied for the Western Sahara identifier, and the colonial oppressing occupying regime of Morocco has applied for it as well to block the process. And as far as I understand, the process is now, because of two contending delegations that cannot be resolved, stuck at that stage. Is that a correct statement of what is happening at the moment?
Can I suggest a couple, if I can just make a couple of points? And Bill, again, I think, yes, I agree. I think there are some illegal issues that may need to be considered at this stage. I think that to a degree, there will be a number of questions or topics that we will come to where we will simply, at least as a starting point, need to go to Ayanna or to Kim and say, okay, in this circumstance, what do you do? And do you have a basis for what you do? In other words, is there a document somewhere that says, in this circumstance, we should do that? Or is it precedent that's built up over time? is it practice, and so on. Because again, this is an we may then identify something that just a thing where there is nothing written down about it. There is simply a practice that occurs, and we might recommend that there should be something written down about that. I wanted to go back one step because I thought it was important that, given that I can't remember who raised it, I think it was Bill, that where the information in this document came from, Bart, could you just very quickly just tell us where you drew the factual information from for this?
IAMA reports.
Right.
If you go to the and say especially first of all what I've checked is the delegations that hit the board, because only on those delegations IANA produces a report. I've taken these reports and especially looked at one of the later ones and tried to make it more general and as a starting point for discussion, knowing, unfortunately, that it was a bit late when I started. But because I think the IANA reports reflect at a certain level, not too detailed, what IANA does and on what basis the ICANN board takes its decision.
Thank you.
Okay.
The point actually is also, in this document, it is not that the ICANN board decides who delegates. ICANN has stated in several court cases that it is forbidden to delegate. It only makes recommendations to the Department of Commerce. Maybe we should be clear about that and put this bit clearer. My understanding is that IANA gives the reports, ICANN board votes on a recommendation, and then the Department of Commerce, after whatever internal processes they have, makes a decision, which probably usually is along the lines of the board's recommendation.
Eberhard.
My correct understanding.
Eberhard, may I take issue with what you just said? I think that's wrong. I think that it is more akin to, and I'm sure our New Zealand and Australian colleagues will understand what I'm getting at here, a constitutional monarchy. It's a convention that the DOC does what ICANN board tells it to. So ICANN board is making a decision, just like when you take a court case to the Privy Council, it's the Queen that makes the decision. It's not really, it's the Judicial Committee. In this case,
yes, Nigel, that's correct in practice, but technically, reading the document, reading the current situation on its face.
But the point I'm saying is you can't read it.
Eberhard's view to be correct.
The point I'm making is you can't read it on its face.
No, I agree with you.
Nigel, we have to consider it, among other things, we have to consider it in plain language. Who do I sue? Not that I would want to, but if it came to that, who, for example, would Polisario sue if they really wanted to have the WF identifier?
Well, Eberhard, don't forget about Verisign, they're going to be party to any such suit as well.
No, the point is, who is the actual endpoint decision maker that gets served?
The point is that if it's a government authority, they probably have some kind of statutory immunity.
No, it doesn't matter immunity. I just want to know the workflow, the policy. Who is the actual decision maker in the end? Because if I read the ITO papers from that ITO case that we were referred to, they say no. We just make recommendations. We're forbidden to make decisions in the Department of Commerce. Now you're saying that the Department of Commerce just does what ICANN board says. Somehow we are circling the wagons. As far as delegation is concerned, it's not a big issue because it's only an issue for the two contending or whoever wants to do it. But in the larger picture, I would like to know to have that defined.
Just for what it's worth, I think that, you know, the role of the U.S. government in terms of this CC delegation and redelegation stuff, I mean, whatever it may have been, is a sort of, you know, is there a way of not having anything to do with it, which is where really it should be. And I don't think it's beyond the, you know, the scope of our work to sort of coming up with good procedures for resolving all of these issues would be welcomed, I'm sure, by the U.S. government. So, I mean,
I'm just saying I would like to define exactly how this works.
Okay. Can we ask Kim for a comment of where he / Ayana considers the decision made? Is the decision made by the ICANN board the point where you update the Ayana database, or do you await some output from Department of Commerce before you start to slip the entry in?
So I'm probably the least qualified to answer, because I'm probably the only person on the call apart from Eberhardt who is not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer.
I'm a gynecologist. What's the difference?
I mean,
I recently was described by my lawyers as a priority client.
It means that your bills are cheaper, Eberhardt.
No, it means that he's a regular customer.
So in answer to the question, I mean, the role and the U.S. government today is very keen on emphasizing the word, which is one of authorization. They explicitly say they do not approve changes, they authorize them. So, you know, I'm not going to split hairs about who decides requests, but there's multiple hurdles. One hurdle is you know, the IANA process, which in the case of delegations and redelegations requires a board resolution, but for regular route zone changes, you know, you have to satisfy IANA staff that the change meets our general processing criteria, and then we send any change to the U.S. government for authorization, and upon receiving authorization, we will update our databases to reflect any change. And VeriSign will implement any change we've requested as part of that in the route zone itself. So VeriSign's position is they'll do anything that they're instructed that's come from IANA and has authorization from USG attached. So that's the way it works. Apart from, you know, correcting some extremely minor, you know, grammatical errors that I've noticed, you know, extraneous spaces or something in the route zone database, we never have altered the route zone database without explicit authorization from the U.S. government.
Okay, well, okay, I think this does raise a very valuable question ever had that should be, well, perhaps it's roughly referred to in the paper currently, and it needs to be fined up as a more direct question. Okay, so are we making progress, chaps? I think we are.
I think we are, Keith. Can I submit, though, I get the impression that the points I raised on the list this morning have been not sort of taken into account, that we take into account what I've put in, not on the call now, but we take into account what I've put forward this morning in working on a further version of the document with Bernie, if he's taking over?
Sure. Yeah. No. I think there appears to be a missing little piece between our mandate as a working group and the tasks that we're setting ourselves. And so, signing up on a document probably wouldn't hurt. Whether it becomes an introduction to the more substantial document or stands alone, I don't know, because there are some aspects of what you're raising, Nigel, that fly across the whole process of delegations, retirements, and redelegations, as opposed to this document that's confining itself purely to delegations.
Sectioning it up, yeah. But I hope it's relevant, the questions. I mean, they're questions, not answers.
In particular, the arguments for and against, I think we do have to sort of delineate those somewhere in whatever's going to be the report that comes out of this group.
Sure. We don't want to confuse the CCNSO further, and we don't want to risk the ire of the Government Advisory Committee along the way. So the more extensively descriptive we are, probably the better. Okay. Is there anything else we can achieve on today's call, then?
Just in terms of process or procedure, as I said, I have copious notes on the document. It probably wouldn't be helpful to share all my observations with the whole group. I'm wondering if it would make sense for me to make some annotations and forward to whatever smaller group is working on the document.
All I can say is that's what the list is for, not what a call with lots of people on a call.
Yeah, Bill, I wouldn't worry. I'd send it out to the list.
Yep.
Okay. Those that want to respond will respond.
Yep.
And if we find that we're struggling logistically because we're trying to discuss lots of different points in one big email, we can then make subdivisions and say, this email thread is to discuss this particular point, and this email thread is to discuss another point.
All right.
So I mean, I'd welcome active stuff going on the list, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
Can we come up with a versioning process so that if contributions are made by members of the list, it's somehow differentiated from the, I won't say the document that came on high, but from the original source?
You might say what you just said.
Well, I'm going to put that in the hands of staff to come up with that mechanism.
Yeah. Maybe, well, I think there is a methodology on the wiki to order and number the documents by version. So could I take it from the meeting that, both Nigel's document and mine, I'll use that word loosely, mine, Bart's document, also get posted to the wiki, and we encourage all working group members to start contributing, and it sounds to me like Bill's going to start that all rolling.
I have got serious technical problems with this particular wiki issue.
Yeah, me too.
Let's keep it as a repository and use the list.
But please, I do not want any documents to go on a wiki where I cannot make changes to the document. The wiki as is run by staff in quotes. I don't mean anything by it, but it only allows access by the management of the wiki. Gavi proposed that we should do this for the technical working group. I'm not interested in not being able to access the wiki directly. So I'm actually looking at a collaborative a wiki where you can collaboratively edit documents. The problem is of a technical nature. If I check it out to edit it, nobody else can. And that's a technical issue that I haven't really figured out. Because in my working group, we are supposed to write this guidebook, and I'm still struggling with the purely technical side on how do we put this so that we can work on this live and not just submit documents through the mailing list and then have this versioning issue. But I would much rather have a wiki where whoever wants to make changes to the documents by login, so only members of the working groups can do that, but that everybody has an idea, can log on, make changes that get tracked, and we can see this is the changes done today by whom and so on.
Can I make a suggestion?
At the moment, this process is very cumbersome and not really. And I don't. I really am opposed, so I'm not putting this to vote, of putting half-assed documents, half-developed documents, or private notes on a repository that then could be circulated to interested or not interested parties and factor into decision-making processes quite prematurely.
To be absolutely blunt, any document posted to the mailing list now could be spawned by any member of the working group to any other forum at all in any form they like. So I don't think, I think the vehicle is faulty, whichever vehicle you use. But notwithstanding that, you make some good points about the status of various documents. My preference personally is that we use like an RTF format document marked up by each person, so we can clearly see each person's comments in one place, but we don't file those on the wiki until we have general agreement from the working group that that's a sort of a robust document. So the iterations that happen between the meetings can continue, but at each meeting, if we can agree a draft, then we put that on the wiki.
Can I make a Keith, I agree with that, but if I can make a suggestion from a logistics point of view about how to handle this,
sure.
It seems to me that, with starting from a base document, it seems to me that there are three or possibly four types of things that members of the working group could do. The first is to make a suggested change, and I would counsel you and recommend that if you make that the only basis upon which you should be making a suggested change is if it's non-substantive. In other words, it's grammatical error, spelling error, or you think a word, you know, there might be a better word. If you want, if you don't agree with the wording or you don't agree with the text from a meaning point of view, then that should be done as a comment. Rather than making a change to the text which changes the meaning, just to reiterate, that should be a comment. I don't agree with this. I think it should mean something else. The third thing is stuff that isn't covered. This is not covered. I think this should be covered. And again, if people want to draft on that basis, then they're obviously welcome to do that. And there was a fourth, but I've forgotten what that fourth one is. But I think the key here is redrafting the text, the existing text that changes the meaning is really challenging, because what that does is then gets really confused, and we're much better to deal with that through comments rather than redraft. Does that make sense?
Can I ask a really, I'm sorry, this is a lawyer question. Who has the pen here?
I think it's, well, Keith, it's you and Bernie, isn't it? And Bart, I guess.
I guess that's the case.
Hey,
In looking at the wiki, I note that I have the ability to upload material to it, so I guess that does mean that I have a pen. I'm not sure what colour it is.
Well, I mean, if I can make a suggestion, and I know I'm going to regret this, I feel it in my bones. I think Chris's, a change is a grammatical thing. There are comments, there are additions and stuff, but somebody has to be sort of the scribe.
Yeah.
In the end, and
I guess the challenge is for Bernie and I to come up with a string of text that satisfies the working group either fully or by consensus.
I sense a volunteer.
Becky, were you about to suggest that you should actually take some role in this?
I was going to say I would be willing to do. I mean, how many people are on this working group? That's the only thing.
A lot.
There are 7,000 comments that come after we send out the draft.
There's slightly under 30 people on the group, of which I would anticipate less than half will probably be particularly active in commenting.
Here is to have Bernie, is to have Keith and Bernie and Becky as the chair, take in charge of the editorial, and we simply go from there.
Yep.
I approve. This is Nigel. I approve of that. The one point I want to make is that we shouldn't be looking at writing things down and who's got the pen until we know what we're going to write down.
Well, yes, but you see, the problem with that, Nigel, is we can only do that if we have a face-to-face or a telephone discussion. you've got to write it down in order for you to make it a discussion point if you're going to do it on the
yeah,
list.
When I say write it down, I mean it's in a slightly more formal sense.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's a discussion document. That's it.
This is
Yes, and I didn't mean anything other than the, you know, the person who was sort of essentially being a scribe for both the comments that come in that are written and that are discussed on the telephone. There has to be some kind of synthesizer.
And exactly right. I mean, there's going to be any number of what I'm sure all the thousands of lawyers on the call would call submissions, and some of them confusing, some of them contrary, and somebody's got to pull them together, and then essentially at some point we may even have to take votes on alternative positions. But we've got to decide where we're going before we worry too much about exactly the dots and eyes of how the presentation is.
May I make a suggestion? Is I think we have to be given where we started, is we need to design a bit of a process here, so you feel comfortable. May Keith, Becky, Bernie, and I come back to you and say this is the way we think is the most practical way of doing it over the next 1 or 2 days. In the meantime,
I don't see a problem with where we're going. The point I've welcomed what Becky's putting her head above the parapet here. I think what we've got effectively is some kind of judicial process going on here.
I'm looking at it purely from a technical perspective. I don't really think it's a good idea to have sort of single point of entry. I'm not saying that I don't trust anybody. The point is that if 20 people make suggestions, one or two editors of the document have to put this in, and that's a lot of work. I'm looking from a purely technical perspective at a collaborative software framework or something where you can collaboratively work on a document, make changes, proposals of changes that get tracked maybe in different colors, and then finally the editor decides after vote or whatever process what the final document looks like. But our current wiki, cannot do that.
No.
Okay. I mean, Google Docs.
Sorry. Let me finish, please. For the technical working group, I'm actually actively looking at two packages that I'm evaluating. None of them really does very well. I'm still continue to look, but this is something that our support staff, and we've got more than just Keith, Bart and Bernie. We've got 5 or 6 people who have legs who can actually Google to do some work other than attending workshops in Africa or something, to actually come up with a workable proposal that actually is useful for our thing. Yeah, we have got 5 or 6 paid staff members from ICANN as support to this working group, and so far I have never heard anything of them, no contribution whatsoever, and I actually feel we can use their time, which is they're on the clock, so that we can actually ask them to do some work on this to come up with a practical technical solution to our problem that we're having.
Guys, I'm going to have to go now. I'm sorry to leave the call, but I have another conference call starting in 3 minutes.
Yeah, Becht, I think
I'll
do need to...
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Bye.
In fact, I think we do need to start bringing this call to a conclusion. Eberhard, I think, in summary, your point was you're looking for someone to investigate the possibility of finding a technical solution that's better than a wiki as a collaborative workspace, and I think probably everyone in the world is looking for that now too. I certainly have been looking over the last 5 years for the ideal tool to manage collaborative document creation and storage, and I've not found anything, and I'd welcome anyone giving us that input. I think in terms of your comments about ICANN staff, you know, we've got Gabby and
Katrina.
Christina,
supporting us logistically, and Bart, who has been supporting us in terms of actual work, who's now replaced by Bernie. So I don't think we've got, and of course Kim from IANA providing us with advice, but I don't think we've got a plethora of people with spare time to do work for us.
Sorry, I totally disagree. If I remember to read Amra Shell's name as a list of 5 or 6 staff members that are supporting us. Logistics support does not mean if I ask whether there is voice over the internet access to the call, making a referral to the company and saying, no, it can't be done. These people work for a living and they get paid by ICANN, and if we need work done, they have to do it. That's what I understand about support, yeah? Whether they have got other work, I don't care. They work for ICANN. ICANN delegates them to support us, and that means they have to put in hours if we need that. I don't want to hear, well, we're busy with other things. Sorry. They're on the clock. Yeah? We are struggling with technical issues that affect our work. I don't have a problem. If Becky wants to put in all the edits, we're doing fine. But I think Becky is busy making money with her time much better. She's in private practice, I understand, and she's a lawyer. That means she's going to go to court and draft documents, but not making editing functions. We need to find a way of dealing with everybody's time efficiently. And I don't want to make this a major point, but I think you're wrong in saying that they're supporting us logistically. And sorry, if we find something for them to do, they go and have to put time in it.
Well, it's certainly interesting.
That's my feeling about this.
Sorry, what was that last comment?
No, if we as a group need work done, and we have staff support, then I feel they must do it.
Sure.
What does support logistically mean otherwise?
So, if I can just break in, you know, the different staff that have been assigned to this have different roles, and you know, Christina's role is just to coordinate logistics, as I understand it, amongst many other things she does for ICANN. Bernie, on the other hand, has been brought on specifically for this project to, you know, help draft documents and to do that kind of stuff at the behest of the working group. So, you know, ICANN has a person that has been brought on to support the group like that. Myself, on the other hand, you know, I have a full-time job doing root zone management, and I'm here to try and inform you as best I can as to how root zone management is performed and answer any questions that you have and try and contribute from my perspective to help the working group have the best outcome. But if you're asserting that I'm meant to drop everything to write documents as a priority, I mean, I don't think that's particularly reasonable. But, you know, Bernie
I did not mention you on purpose. Your role is IANA and management of the root, okay? Liaison to us is something totally else, but you're not logistical staff support. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think
that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, the distinction is that Gabby and Christina are there as logistical support, and now Bernie's here replacing Bart as our chief drafter, document gatherer, editor.
I think the word is policy support, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm wary of using the word policy in this forum.
Policy officer. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a positive sense, not a negative sense.
Yeah.
I'm here to help you guys get it done, whatever it takes, if that helps answers Eberhard's question.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Bernie. Long time no speak.
Yes, much too long. Hello, Eberhard.
Okay. But I think, Eberhard, you did raise the question about having a tool that might be better than a wiki for collaborating on documents. And I think if ICANN does have any inklings of other things, it would be useful for them to let us know.
Bernie, can you please let us have your direct email so that I can, for example, if I'm looking at some software that I find maybe looking interesting, that we can maybe look at it together and then we maybe come up with a suggestion or something.
It will be posted in the next few minutes.
Okay.
Can you hold back a few minutes, Bernie, so I can get an announcement to the list about you first?
Yeah, he can send it to me directly anyway.
Yeah, I'll send it to Eberhard then, and I'll send it after you make the announcement.
Okay, cool. Okay, if there's nothing else...
Becky had not something to say.
I was just going to echo Keith's... I mean, the reason I volunteered is because... To date, the collaboration, the real collaboration software for documents are very, very hard to use and unsatisfactory in my experience. So if somebody finds something that really works, that would be incredible.
Yep. Look, I think we've tried a dozen different things in our life in .nz, and we've got rid of all of them and still prefer using .rtf documents marked up with comments and changes to script, and it still seems to work as well as anything, as does list mail, particularly for large groups.
Yeah, email list and an editor working like that seems to be the way everyone ends up working still, unfortunately.
Yeah. Let's go back. So I understand your concern, but let us say Bernie, Keith, Becky, and I come back with a suggestion to this list over the next or 2 days.
If you guys can make all these changes to the document, that's fine. That's less work for me. I'm just saying, I would fear that this...
Yeah, but you want to... But you want to be able to know how you want to submit your changes. That's part of that process.
I want to have an efficient system to do this. If we have full-time people like Bernie and you doing this, that's, for me, it's not a problem. But I am...
Yes, that's what I'm suggesting.
Looking for a similar thing. So I'm interested in something as efficient as possible. If I'm perfectly happy with you, Keith, Bernie, and Becky doing this, I'm just saying, making trivial changes for somebody on management level is probably not as efficient as it could. I know that this is a difficult thing, but I think we should. I'm going to look again if I find something. But I'm perfectly happy with four people, especially if somebody is appointed on a consultant basis to do this. I'm perfectly happy with somebody making all these changes.
Okay. Oh, well, look, I think we do need to wind up the call. Is there anything else, any other burning issues anyone has?
No. Maybe just this, Keith. Suggest how we want to move forward over the next days up to the next call on and how we want to progress the document and everything else.
But it's Nigel. One thing I want to say is perhaps we can provoke discussion on the list in the intervening time.
Yep.
Well, I think Bill has suggested that he's got a considerable number of comments and observations to make, and so could I suggest that Bill and anyone else who's on this call that has such commentary, please make it on the list and invite debate on the subjects, and we'll get the ball rolling that way.
You see, that's how I thought the working group was going to be working when we started.
Yeah. Okay, if there's nothing else then, thank you very much, particularly those of you who have got up at ungodly hours, and remember, this will be iterative, so we'll be going through a bit of this process again on our next call.
Well, I suppose it's about time that some of us who've had the benefit of time zone are in the middle of the night for a change.
Yep. Okay, and I think the three things that I will do now is inform the list of Becky's nomination and Bill's withdrawal for alternate chair, that Bernie's our support man, and that we have a couple of papers sort of on the table and welcoming further discussion on them and advising people that Bill and others have some significant input to make.
Found something about Nigel's overview document.
I think that's included in what Keith said.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Nothing else. Thank you all very much for your attendance.
Right. Good night, all.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.